When you live overseas for a while, you realize you're never going to be fully home at your home. And when you go back home, you're never fully home again. And it's a good reminder, yes, as Peter said, that we're sojourners traveling through, recreated for a new home. And just want to, just so grateful. Want to give praise to God for the travel protections and mercies. And we drove a good ways north so that we could fly back south, get over some no-go zones to fly back north, and it all worked out, and we made it, so praise God. And it's good to be able to share a little bit of let's call it a state of the mission report with you. Give praise for what God is doing in part through you in a small town in rural Haiti. When I was last year, about a year and a quarter ago, at that point, I had the pleasure of reporting that an idea that God had given Lisa to start a small writing and discipleship program had started to blossom, and what had started out with six kids or six and a couple ended up kind of finishing out at six kids that first year of kids work ended up being around 60 plus when I was here. While I was visiting, she was having a dream that God said, there's going to be 200 kids coming to your house. Oh, boy. it blossomed. What started out as that one small group became two, and two became four. And since then, it's been about 16 months, that 60 has become 320 to 350 kids a week. Praise God. Yeah, we try to keep that small group mentality. So those kids are divided out through the course of the week over seven teachers, eight time slots, and 25 actual small groups that come spread out over the week here in the Word of God. Most recently, the groups work through sequentially through the book of Acts, chapter 1 through the end, as it is written. We spent 38 weeks going through Acts, and that's been a chance to witness newfound discovery at what the Word actually says. Well, that's not what we heard. Well, that's what it says. We can talk about the difference, but that's what it says. Just witness to kids coming into some of the churches in the community, making commitments of faith in those churches, kids that we see in what they refer to it as the club. Sometimes we call it the soccer program. I hate the word program or project, but for lack of a better word, that's kind of what we talk about sometimes. But there's opportunity as things come up. Fistfights occasionally break out. Most of the kids are boys. There's about 90 girls or so. But the rest of them are boys, and we come across that little dispute of, well, he accused me of stealing the extra cookies. Okay, well, that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity to talk about, all right, let's make some confessions if we have to make some confessions, but we're going to offer forgiveness. We're going to repent, we're going to apologize, and we're going to offer forgiveness on both sides. The lessons, as we talk about the Word of God, we have the opportunity to talk about how it applies to life in rural Haiti in 2023. Sometimes difficult things come up where the answers aren't immediately obvious. What do you do when a 14-year-old comes to you and says, or comes to one of your teachers and says, my parents really care about me. They take great care of me. They're providing for me. I have a good life. I'm in school. But I realize, and we're talking about sorcery this week, and my school tuition, I have to admit, my school tuition gets paid because my dad's a witch doctor, and that's paying my school tuition. What do I do? I want to honor them, and sometimes those answers aren't easy, but it gives us a chance to go into prayer and to go into discussion. We get to occasionally see amazing healings. We don't know why healings happen sometimes, and sometimes they wait, but we give God the praise and glory for, huh?
The oil.
The oil, yeah. So pastor knows a young lady named Ika. A lot, most of the cooking in the countryside is still done on charcoal fire, either on steel racks on charcoal or often just on the ground or concrete. Haitians love deep fried food. Who doesn't? But so cooking oil accidents are unfortunately not uncommon. And one of the young ladies that was coming had a burn. I don't do a lot of burn work in animals, at least didn't here in the States, but it looked like it had to at least be a third degree burn. I questioned how could those bony parts of her ankle get covered with skin without grafting. And we prayed over in the group. Literally within a week, it was amazing the healing that happened. Aside from some pigmentation, it was skinned over. I mean, it was just a supernatural healing. So we do get to see those things, and it's exciting, of course. Just a chance for a large number of kids to find a mentor. Yeah. The majority of the families that are represented in the kids that come, having a father at home is not the common thing. Usually there's not. And when whatever male is in the house, it's pretty common for voodoo to be actively practiced. So it's not, those things unfortunately are not uncommon. And the kids are just able to come however they are. They don't have to worry about having the right clothes or shoes that are good enough to get in the door, those cultural barriers that sometimes we encounter in churches, unfortunately. You know, as Pastor mentioned, many of you know, it's making the news more recently. News coverage is fickle in what they do or don't decide to cover. It may or may not be true, and they may or may not speak on what is true. Recently, they're picking up a little bit more on Haiti. But Haiti's become more and more unstable since 2018. July of that year is when what was supposed to be normal went out the window. And it's every year people say, just a lot of political things. The reason why in July of that year, they waited to announce a 50% gas price increase on the day that the Argentina football team was playing Brazil, or Brazil was playing. I don't know. A lot of Haitians are Brazil and Argentina fans, and they thought, well, we'll distract them. They'll be busy in football, and we'll announce the gas price increase. And Brazil lost, and the country lost it. and as often is the case, the issue may not really be the issue. I think a lot of things were paid for politically. There's a lot of Satan works underground, both underground and out in the open, and you know, it's just kind of been a political battle since then. The president was assassinated in 2021. Haiti's still without an elected leader. Since then, the terms of all the elected officials have expired. There's no elected officials in Haiti. And there's no order. There's no law and order. But just kind of the things you see overtly are beyond description at times. You know, we've been thankful this week to be able to move about, to go to the supermarket. I think the last time we were actually in the supermarket was probably the last time I was here last year. And it's just been good to be. How do we get our food? We thankfully have a Haitian lady who goes to the local public market for us. And sometimes the way things work, we're able to supply her with money for the food and a salary to go get it, cheaper than we could get it ourselves, because we don't blend in as much. But and occasionally in the local markets, and we do have a few things shipped in, and I don't go to Port-au-Prince myself anymore, but thankfully we have some people that occasionally want to use a pickup truck to do that, and so then we were able to help out each other, pick some things up. that's a lot. The answer to a lot of things in Haiti. Where do you find It's kind of like if in here, it's kind of like being here and where do I get this piece of hardware? In Syracuse. Where do I get? In Syracuse. Where? Oh, okay. Things are very centralized, and that causes its own issues at times. But yeah, as Lisa kind of said initially, but God. But God. We don't go out much, especially the last year and a half. We've not gone out hardly at all. But the Lord just keeps bringing kids to the house every week. So we don't go, but they come. And many of them coming from some of the darkest areas locally, seems like more and more just show up. School this past year started in, for the previous school year actually started for most of the kids in January. Last fall was pretty tumultuous, so they didn't actually...
When was it supposed to start?
September, last September. And they actually got into the classrooms in January. And we said, oh, we think when school starts, maybe the numbers will slow up a little bit because they're going to be busy with school. But it didn't quite work that way. They went to school, they talked to their friends, and they brought their friends along. So, yeah, just a big, big blessing. You know, we can't live in, you can't be in Haiti right now with a living heart in your chest and not feel some compassion and just desire for mercy with the things that are going on. And you certainly can't look at the situation and unfortunately not feel compelled to want to demand justice. We have that desire for swift and thorough justice. And that's kind of brings me to the point, you know, when we consider, we want justice for what's clearly so offensive to us. But then, as we consider the gospel, the Bible says God is wholly just, yet merciful, and all have offended a holy God and are deserving of justice. And the cross of Christ is where God's love and God's justice meet, where God's love and justice were fulfilled, and where the two can be compatible. Because sometimes we look at it, how can the two be compatible, justice and mercy? That's where it happened. That's where it became compatible. How did Jesus show his love? He obeyed. He stood alone. In the end, he was all alone, suffering, and he died. But then, how did he change the world? He died, but he rose again, and praise God, he lives today. You know, that is that the resurrection is the proof that our current situation or circumstances are not the end of the story. It's easy to look at extreme evil and want justice, but when we're honest about our own fleshly natures, there's things we don't want to do. We don't want to postpone pleasure because it feels good. We don't want to forgive so-and-so. That wound still hurts. It was Pastor, I don't know if it's Pastor Chris or Lewis Smead's reference that he gave you. We don't want to give up all hope of a better past. We don't want to give away a little more because we earned it. We don't want to speak against the cultural whims because they won't like us. So, I mean, let's face it. It seems like, well, sin can be pleasurable for a little while. It can be personally advantageous for a little while. Sin can seem therapeutic for a little while. Do I get it right? Not even close. And the family can testify to that. So none of us do. None of us do. And that's exactly why we need Christ. We need Christ, Savior. And we like that idea. Savior, heaven, sign me up. Let's go. Repentance, lordship. Maybe that's where the rub comes in. And again, sometimes extreme situations can let us see things more clearly. Where there's no accepted responsibility, and that's responsibility to ourselves or to others, to God, to a sense of excellence, then there's only going to be incompetency, disorder, and misery.
Right.
At best, it's kind of, what we see at best then is failure and lack. And at worst, sin and evil. Enter the gospel. Good news, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus completely paid the penalty for our sin, meaning he took the punishment so that justice could be served and we could be pardoned without denying the justice. It's this love in the form of justice and love in the form of mercy that are made compatible at the same time. The hard news of the gospel is that in order to truly give something away or give something over to someone, it has to first belong to us. And Jesus offers complete forgiveness in his name, but in order for us to give our sins over to him, we have to first come to take responsibility and possess ownership of them. And when I consider the dysfunction and trouble which I've caused, then I know why the gospel is amazing grace. Have I always kept on a firm foundation, not become anxious, not become depressed, ungrateful, discontent, not expressed anger? No. That's why we have to preach the gospel to ourselves every day.
Amen.
The gospel frees us. It removes any need on my part to be anxious or worried about my own self, both spiritually and physically. It's a gospel act of love and justice that frees us and brings about an ability and desire to be concerned about others. The word says, repent, believe, and continue believing. If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we'll be raised to eternal glory and be with him. As a reference, if you want more reference reading, read 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5, 1 Peter chapter 1. But in Thessalonians, Paul is writing to the Thessalonian believers, those that he had relatively recently visited with, shared the gospel, and had accepted his message. But he's writing back to them to encourage them and impress upon those new believers that Jesus is returning. For this, for the return of Jesus, we should be prepared.
Right.
And by this, knowing that he's returning, we should be encouraged. C.S. Lewis, in his essay, The Weight of Glory, he put it this way. He said, in the end, that face which is the delight or terror of the universe must be turned upon each of us with either one expression or the other, either conferring glory inexpressible or inflicting shame that can never be cured or disguised. So Paul urges preparation, but he's also encouraging the believers with a great and precious promise of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. For God did not appoint us, this is in the NIV to satisfy Arthur, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we're living or already dead, we may live together with him. Also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17b, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Our current situation, our current circumstances, are not the end of the story.
Amen.
Current situation or circumstances are not the end of the story. Jesus is coming back. Paul wants the relatively new believers to get that point and to live accordingly. In chapter 5, verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing. And Paul goes on to discuss more and more about how we should live. He lays out the therefore. God wrote the grand story of history from beginning to end, Alpha and Omega. Yet he gives us the freedom to influence the details in our generation. The master that we choose to serve and the choices we make will make an impact for good or bad on the lives of those around us. Reading the Old Testament, that's very clear. Our choices and our actions matter. So as we prepare to get back to Haiti, and when we get back to Haiti, Lord willing, with the club, we're going to... You're welcome. Well, we do have trouble with you older folks sometimes. But... You have to play on the field with the big boys back on the community field. You can't play on the small field where there's a little shade. This sometimes has to get sorted out. But when we get back, you know, Lord willing, we want to spend some time revisiting the gospel and spending some time kind of camping out in Paul's teachings from Thessalonians. What the implications of those teachings are. So, you know, we thank you for your prayers. We ask your prayers for the kids, for the teachers, as they consider what it means for them, both for our future and for how we live life right now. Going to sleep and waking up to the sound of automatic rifle fire is not God's desire for his kids. Our current circumstances are not the end of the story. So it's up. We have to stand firm on his word and his promises. He does use the circumstances to allow us the choice of either drawing closer or turning away. Hence, we preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We really are grateful for the prayers. We feel it. Time and time again, we've seen the unlikely or unexpected happen. Ways to open up that we get through where we need to get through when we do, when we have to. He's protected us, protected the space we're in. When things are happening less than a mile away, things have been secure at our place. And the provision has been there, as Pastor said. We would like to keep up with you. I don't know how many get our occasional updates. We will not flood your email box. We don't write that often. But we try to give it an update out about every week or every 2 to 3 months. And if you'd like to get our updates, you can shoot us an email, waynehassinger@icloud.com. There's a list in the big house back there. You can just sign your name and email. We'll get you those updates. Usually comes as a PDF attachment on an email. So it's unfortunately it does come as an attachment, but most folks can open it up. As we travel back home this week, we appreciate your prayers, getting us back into Haiti. Pray for deliverance, for radical change in Haiti. Physical deliverance and spiritual deliverance. Everywhere you go, you find crosses in Haiti. Oh, what's the cross? Well, it's a symbol. Yeah, it's a symbol. Sometimes it's a symbol of Christ, because voodoo teaches that we'll take power wherever we get power. If Christ will give power, we'll take power. If Satan gives power, we'll take power. It's a very confused teaching. But often those crosses are representative of a crossroads, a spiritual crossroads, where the spiritual world and the real world, the physical world, meet. They're not crosses of Christ, and we want to see that change. Amen. We want to see that change, that it takes on a different significance, a true significance. You know, we pray that in every nation we'd see revival. We'd see neighbors choosing the good of others. Sometimes Haiti's almost a foreshadowing of what we then subsequently see in the news here. And it's there's nowhere that doesn't need prayer. Famine in Haiti's been created by human hands, but it's God that can create, that God that did create, and God that can recreate human hearts. Yes, some months ago, I think things were probably in February, things got really crazy in Haiti, especially locally. But I found myself praying maybe in a more direct and open way with God. I don't know. I'm guilty. I complain in my head. Family will say, yeah, he complains out loud a lot, too. And it happens. But then we go before God. I don't know if this happens to others. Go before God. We kind of try to dress up the language. We want to be reverent in our prayers.
Sure.
And so sometimes we don't open it up as much. And one particular day, I found myself being fairly open and direct. God, you said, but I see this, and I see that, and this is happening, that's happening. And he kind of paused to come up for air for another volley. And it wasn't an audible voice, but it was like a voice in my head said, are you finished? Yeah, sure. When he says, are you finished?
Yeah.
You're finished. And then it was like he started to ask me questions. Has this happened to you? No. Has it happened at your house? No. Have you been protected from X, Y, and Z? Yeah. Have I not covered you? Yeah. Well, then it's settled. And it's settled. And it was a powerful reminder of his presence,
yeah.
Of his provision.
Amen.
It was comforting at the time, and brings peace. And it still is. It still is. And yet, just like the children of Israel, so easily we forget.
Yeah.
I do. I'm back on the worry wagon. The complaint train, the angst express, whatever it is, it's a thought stream that's headed in the wrong direction. And so we have to remind ourselves of Paul's message to the Thessalonians. He who died rose again, and he's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming back. It's not the end of the story right now. As the old hymn says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. You know, our circumstances, our enemies, sometimes our closest friends or family, sometimes our trusted Christian brothers and sisters feels like let us down. He's our hope.
Amen.
He's our hope. As we sang in Jesus' name, he's our hope. In Psalm 94:19, you know, I was camping out in Psalm 94 a good bit this last little while. Because we do find ourselves asking how long. Psalm 94, verse 19, the Berean Standard phrases it this way, when anxiety overwhelms me, your consolation, your comfort delights my soul. And that's where we have to go.
Yep.
That's where we have to go. So I don't know your particular situations. But if you never said yes to the hope that we have in Christ, talk with one of us, with one of the leaders today.
Amen.
And if when we get distracted in our situations, look again, again, and again to the one that is hope. And talk with someone that we can pray with you. Let's pray now. Father God, thank you for making a way where there often seems to be no way. Words of the hymn, that old hymn also say, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Lord, you freed us.
Yes.
Strengthen us, Lord God. Strengthen us to live boldly, to love like you love, and serve the way you serve. We may love more deeply, serve others more willingly.
Yes.
May follow you more obediently, and love others more fully. Make us more like you, Lord Jesus, until we see each other face to face.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.